The Money Show. Business Unusual.
Colin Cullis with Business Unusual this evening. The internet, what was it? Video was going to kill the radio star, and then the internet was going to kill the pop star. But actually, the internet has just changed the way the pop star hoiks his songs, hasn't it?
It does, and I was just having a look with this. This slot tends to look a lot at these industrial revolutions, and we certainly focus inordinately a lot on the fourth industrial revolution, which we're supposedly busy undergoing right now. And seen as the Money Show, so well known for all of its facts, I can offer you this, that the music industry has been affected by each of the four we've had so far. So steam gave us pipe organs moving from bellows to steam. Electronics gave us amplified music, broadcasts and electronic or electric instruments. The internet gave us streaming and piracy, the way we really got to know it. And now we're looking at automation of music, AI and blockchain. So there's a quick little fast fact for you with all four of the industrial revolutions having played out for the music industry.
And each one of these revolutions has actually enhanced music. It's enhanced the distribution of music. I mean, I was listening to something the other day in which they were talking about how when radio first started, and was the day of swing and the big bands, and it was just pre the depression in the United States, and radio was taking off and music was being played on the radio. In order for a radio station to play the music of a band, the entire band had to be present in the studio and had to be paid a performance fee if a recording of their music was being played on the radio, because there was a real fear that radio was going to kill live music. And I suppose in some ways it did, but it created new opportunities.
Yeah, every single time, and this goes for just about any industry that's going through a change, is that the assumption is always it's about to create huge amounts of drama, but generally, despite the disruption, it always offers a lot more as a potential outcome for those who want to sort of navigate a little better. And music was one of the ones that's often cited as those first big major disruption coming to the industries after the sort of the internet age and now with the next one coming. So I thought let's go and have a look again, because it kind of hit the skids, as it were, back in the 2000s, and to see has it stabilized, has it found to have things improved, and then, you know, where do we go from here? And I suppose this as a little history, you see how many of these, remember LPs, you probably had a couple of those long plays, 7 singles, 8 track tapes, that's maybe really going back, then the cassette, the CD and the MP3 and the various sort of digital formats. Music piracy, you probably thought, well, that came out very recently, yet that was the cassette tape era. That's when you could start recording cassette tapes, mixing those little, the mixtapes actually became very popular and people love doing those things. Although a modern update from just this last week, streaming services allow you to create playlists and you can mix whatever favorite songs together and then share that with somebody you like. Well, a woman in the US last week created a Spotify playlist for a partner. Basically, if you read every word for the songs she chose in the playlist, she broke up with her boyfriend that way. Yeah, nice way to do it. And so that's where the music industry, when sort of Napster, that might be a name that rings a bell, allowed people to get these MP3, these digital versions of music, and simply distribute them between each other, that the record industry got really worried. Originally, they were like, wow, awesome, electronic music. No more distribution costs. People can just download it. They don't have to pay to make CDs and then send them off to shops. You just buy them online and away you go. It didn't work that way because, one, they were expensive, and it's free to copy things, including when they were copying CDs. They didn't realize that, you know, part of the point of creating data and how computers and the internet is created is to replicate information. So really didn't fit with the old model that they had. And what they did wrong, as so many industries do, is they seek to try and protect the old rather than embrace the potential new. So they try to use laws and all these sorts of things to lock down people being able to copy things. But as I said, you know, the internet was built for sharing. It was built to not make that very easy. And so they kind of lost that battle until they started going back to, as you mentioned, radio's innovation back in the 20s when it really took off, was the notion of paying a royalty. You can play what you like and you pay us a percentage of the money you earn from it. And it took streaming to start turning the tide. And while Spotify's one I'm mentioning here is not available in South Africa yet, Apple Music, Amazon, Google Play, Tidal, there are quite a few of them that are available, and most of them offering millions, and I mean 20, 30, 40 million songs in their libraries, that for about 80, 90 bucks a month, you can have access to all of them.
And it is amazing what is available for very little money. But what it's done, I think, is it's made music more accessible. More people will listen to music. You don't need the schlep of going to the CD shop. So maybe the internet kills the CD shop, but it doesn't kill the music industry.
No, it has the opposite effect. The amount of music that can now be played and distributed, an artist in Cape Town can be heard anywhere around the world. And while they're not necessarily getting much return for the song that's being played, what they have noticed is that the loss in sales and revenue from selling albums is being made up when those bands go on tour. So when they host a concert, they've now been able to create so many more fans that when the opportunity comes that they can perform live, there's a lot more people wanting to come to the venue, buy the merchandise and attend. Whether that be in a city, in a country, or when they're traveling around the world. And that was the unexpected kind of flip. So the music sales have been dropping, and then the amount of money made for it. But the revenue being made from tours has gone up exponentially.
What about the scourge of piracy? Because in around the time of 2000, and that's the Napster era, that was the big concern, that there you'd be in your studio, you'd be recording your music, and 3 days later it would be appearing absolutely everywhere and nobody would be paying for it.
Yeah, so piracy almost took care of itself with streaming. If you had a bad copy, an unreliable site that would be reproducing or distributing the music, then you kind of, well, that's not great for you. When YouTube came along and basically started making everything available on high quality, very reliable, easy to stream from just about anywhere, the need for you to go and find it somewhere that was a dodgy source became less. So while Spotify has claimed that in every market it's operated, it's managed to reduce piracy 25% and plus, the truth is it's just less of a thing. If music is readily available, i.e. you can stream it with ad-supported things, Spotify, YouTube does that, or with a simple subscription, you could get access to buy an album for buy a song for $1 or an album for $10 or, a monthly subscription, then the need for you to want to go and steal that music isn't an issue anymore. And that's kind of been the shift, which, again, the record companies didn't initially account for that. But now that they've made the music so much more available, you're seeing a couple of other effects as well. There is a lot more music being made, like a lot more music. And this, again, makes some people feel, well, nobody can earn money anymore. And certainly from the streaming, as in how much money do you earn every time somebody streams a song? Well, let me try and illustrate it for you. The most popular song on YouTube, and most of the most popular videos on YouTube is music, is Gangnam Style by Psy. Now, he created that, and he has got 2.8 billion views of that video so far. And while YouTube doesn't disclose how much they pay per play, it works out to somewhere in the region of about 800 times before you earn $1 for the number of times that track plays.
It's got to be played a lot and played in full.
Yeah, exactly right. So even if he had taken the full 2.8 billion and supposedly they were all full plays, that's only $3.5 million that he would have earned in total for the world's most successful streamed song. Now, of course, there are other platforms where that have been played, etc., etc. But that's kind of what you're looking at. So there is still an issue with that revenue model. And here's where the problem comes. Back in the radio days, when they set this up, there was a music label that would discover you and get you promoted on radio. Then there'd be these collection agencies who would take the money from the radio stations and then work out who got played how often to decide how and who will get what money. That is still a nightmare now. And a lot of artists are complaining that they're not seeing that money because it takes up to 2 years after a massive hit has moved through the system before you start seeing the revenue coming from that. And some artists just not going to be able to last 2 years before they can do that. And so we mention the word blockchain, which is not the first time we've mentioned it and probably won't be the last time we mention it. And the plan here with the blockchain is that because they work with these smart contracts, so every time a song is played on YouTube, it will set up this little thing that says that song played, that song should get Bruce to receive admittedly a very small amount of money, but that small amount of money can be transferred into his account directly from the person who actually played it. So for me to use YouTube, I'd have to have it connected to something that can access my account. And then I pay that tiny little amount every time I consume just about anything, and in this case, specifically music. But that money goes directly to the person who is responsible or entitled to it and at the point that I've played it. So while the song is absolutely the most popular thing everywhere, You get to have it.
And it becomes a lot more of a reliable system because this thing is being tracked digitally. And there will be artists who've lost out on massive revenues over the years because the forms that had to be filled in by radio stations. They probably still do the SAMRO form, yes. South African Music Rights Organization. I mean, you've got restaurants that pay music. You should be paying royalties to artists and those don't get paid. But if you've got a restaurant that is on its iTunes account and is simply streaming music, well, click your song is played. Click, your song is played again. You're getting that 5 cents or whatever it might be for every play, and eventually it adds up. It's possibly a more reliable mechanism.
Yeah, but it's a long shot, because the amount of negotiation that'll have to come into, again, from an industry that's usually been very slow at sort of seeing the upside. Blockchain is just a potential for them. The win at the moment does seem for those actual artists to stay, I'm going to look to get my fans, so make sure they got access to my music, get my fans and have them come to the concert. They pay for a ticket, they come to the concert, I get my money. That seems to be where they're going. But they've got another challenge coming, and it's from this artificial intelligence, neural network and machine learning. And I've got a little track here, if I can play a little bit for you.
Very quick.
Tell me if you recognize it in any way.
ABBA, come on.
Well, it's certainly going back. So this is every single
Beatles.
There you go. Every single Beatles song fed into a machine and say, what can you tell me about the Beatles? And it came with that little arrangement and that sort of sound and that sort of feel. It's called Daddy's Car. It was created by Sony, and it's part of an album that's coming out a little later this year, featuring a bunch of genres and stuff from a group called Flow Machines. And what they've done is they've taken this machine that'll learn musical styles, so you can stick any old band in there, or any lyrics. They've taken Bob Dylan's, chucked in all his lyrics, and you can now have that song. So let's say they took it with the Beatles Yesterday, but had the words rewritten in the style of Bob Dylan. And the point isn't to get rid of artists. The point is that given how many variations there could be for a song, they can have the machines generate hundreds of variations, and then the artists can listen and say, oh, I really like that one. And so we get better versions of the songs. But here's the downside, and you might have seen this week Ed Sheeran admitting that his song Photograph was very similar to another artist's, a song called Amazing of a few years back, and paying $20 million for it. The music is getting more and more similar as we try and chase a very similar taste. And online I've included some things to the millennial whoop to see what that's like, and include even a reference to the Des Rea, a song created in 600 AD that has been reproduced in various versions, including Star Wars, for you to take a listen to how much we've been recycling music.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Thank you very much, Colin Cullis, with Business Unusual, how a disrupted industry is navigating that disruption.